you look in the bulletin, it wasn't worded well how we're explaining things at the annual meeting. Somebody just brought it to my attention that says we're making some decisions on bringing Fred Haberland on as a pastor and Pastor Dave taking a sabbatical. It's kind of like Dave's going and Fred's coming, and that's all we're deciding. It's basically two completely opposite things, somewhat related, but Fred becoming an assistant pastor in the church and then myself taking a sabbatical. And if you don't know anything about that, over the next few weeks we'll be explaining both the insight the leadership has with Fred and what we've seen in him and what we believe God's calling him to be in the church, and that will be affirmed by the congregation or denied on January 19th, and then the sabbatical. Some of you might not have ever heard of such a thing, so we'll be talking about that over the next few weeks leading up to that. One thing I would say is if there are any questions about it, I mean, these are things that people will have questions and talk about it. If you want solid answers, though, just come see us. I mean, we can talk all we want among ourselves, but if you want to know what's going on, then we'd be glad to tell you. And we want to give you overload on information, so we want to be completely transparent with that. That was just to fill in while Fred was doing that. I can be long-winded sometimes, right? So Philippians chapter 1 is where we're going to be. Get myself situated here. I'd like Robin's prayed already. Appreciate that, Robin. We receive God's word, God's living word. You have the opportunity, unprecedented in human history. We're so used to it because we are in that time in history. But you have the word of God in your own language. And we often come just blase, God's word, we got God speaking to us without realizing the magnitude of it. Been praying that this week that you would get that magnitude, particularly for this passage. This is quite a passage, which I will say up front, we're going through Philippians. We are going to stop and do like a discipleship series in a few weeks, but this is a hinge passage. The rest of the book flows from what's going to be, we're looking at today in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. In fact, let me just read that entire section, Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. So follow along if you would in your Bibles. And this is what God says in his word. After having said much in the first 26 verses, he continues by saying, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you, plural, church, are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you, church, that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. We're going to be lingering over verses 27 and 28 in a bit here, just to get your minds primed a little bit here. I want you to go back in your time. I was thinking this morning, for me, it was when I was asking Bobby to marry me. The reason I bring that up is because it's a time in your life where you had something very important to say and you wanted to get it right. Some of you guys didn't think about it at all, and just over dinner, hey, would you marry me? For other people, you took the time. You really wanted to make it right. This is something she's going to remember the rest of your life. You will, too. I want to get it right. There's other times when you know you're going to have an important conversation, and you want to choose your words wisely and say it clearly. So perhaps if you have to confront somebody, or if you want to commend somebody even, somebody's been a blessing, and you don't want to just say, thank you. You want to say more and explain it well. That's kind of what's happening here in Philippians chapter 1. There is something that God has to say through the Apostle Paul. So we will say Paul has to say to the church that is very important. Now understand, Paul knew these believers. He was actually like a spiritual father to them. Clearly, he was loved by this church. I mean, you start thinking through this. Somebody that just is such a blessing to you. You just love this person because they always encourage you. They've helped you tremendously with spiritual feedings and growing your faith and coming alongside of you in struggles. This church loved Paul like that and 10 times more than that. And obviously, you just read through the book of Philippians. Paul loved this church. He's aching. I want to come see you guys, but I can't. I miss you. Now, he had just, in the first 26 verses, just shared news about his life. It's kind of like a missionary report. This is what's been going on. By the way, I'm in jail. You've heard about that. Let me tell you what's been going on in jail. And I'll just say, we've worked through that already. And we do have all the sermons on audio. If you want to get them, we can get them to you. I would just say, this is some of the most edifying, motivating, refining scriptures in all of the Bible. For me to live is Christ. Just to linger over that, we won't preach that again. Edifying scripture. So Paul gives this report, so encouraging, so motivating, even refining to us. And now he's going to stop and say, now I want to talk to you. Now I've got words for you. I'm on the threshold of saying something very important to you, church. So please listen. And the reason we know that is because of the first word that you have in your Bible. Now, I think the NIV is the only one that translates it different, but most of your other Bibles in your lap will have the word only there. Now, Paul uses a unique Greek word that is emphatic. He places it at the very beginning of the sentence in the original language, but it's this transitional word. Okay, so we're making a transition. I've told you about me. Now I want to talk to you. And it's a transitional word that brings up a very important matter, something that concerned Paul deeply. So what's about to flow from here, Paul is emphasizing. You get the point. I'm emphasizing it too, but you get the point. We are seeing this emphasized. The word is only. In the Greek, it's monon from monos, which means one or only. Basically, this is a singular call. Razor sharp focus. Above everything else, hear this. This is very important to tell you. Now, I'm lingering over this because I want you all to know and be convinced that God is clearly, so get this, the God of the universe is striving through Paul, through this particular use of language even, to emphatically call our attention to something. So picture this. The God of the universe is grabbing you by the shoulders, looking into your eyes and saying, I have something very important for you. I want you to hear this. I guess we could even say God saying, listen, this is extremely important. I want you to hear this and do this. This singular call above everything else. If we wanted to use an analogy, it would be like you're a soldier. And you get summons to go to see the commander-in-chief. Now that would be a daunting summons. And that would be both an honor. I'm so honored by that. But would also be a sacred duty. Whatever's spoken in this meeting, it's going to happen. I'm not going to be chit-chatting saying, well, did you think about this? It's going to be, here's your summons, here's your orders, go march by this drumbeat. And so we approach the commander of chief, receive from him our orders, and then regardless of the cost, we're going to do everything we can to fulfill those orders. Okay, so I'm laboring here to get you to see this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as Christians who say, yes, I do name the claim of Jesus. I trust in him for forgiveness. Now he's saying to you, now listen to what I have to say. This is extremely important flowing from that gospel. So what is that singular call? What are the orders? What is God after here? Well, look at verse 27, that we should let our manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Such humbling words. This is, God is looking into our eyes saying, I'm calling you to live a certain way. To conduct yourself, to order your whole life around something. Now, let me just, as an aside, say that everybody in this room, everybody who lives, has your life lived in a certain way? Your life is ordered in some certain way. That's being human. You live for something or some things or someone. We all have what we would call ruling ambitions, ruling desires, things in my life that are very important that I will sacrifice for, that I will give myself to, that I will invest time, money, effort into. We all have these. Some people, it's only a few, one or two. Other people, it's more than that, but we all have them. It's being human, so we have our jobs. Most of your week, if you have a job, is going to be ordered around those hours. From this time, I'll be at work. Or your family, perhaps your hobbies, your recreation, decisions in life are made on how they will affect the things that we love most. So money could be for some. the way I spend my money. So if you take your checkbook out right now, we could say this is what you order your life around. If you look back at how you spent your money in 2010, it would show what you're ordering your life around. Paying bills, right? That's all it seems we do. But what particular bills are we paying? It's showing, it's displaying what we live for. For me to live is that. What you do with your time. And what I mean by that is most of you say, well, time, it's work, it's job. And for some people, that is what you order your life around. But even outside of work, what do you spend your leisure time doing? So you look back at how you spent time this past year. What you gave most of your time to is what you're ordering your life around. How about your thoughts, where your minds naturally wander? When you got some downtime to think, where does it go? What you enjoy thinking about. The point is, we all have ruling ambitions. All of our lives are ordered around someone or something. And for Paul, what was Paul's ruling ambition? Verse 21, look there in the Bible. What Paul says it. For to me, to live is Christ. It's Christ. My whole life is ordered around Christ. Now, did he just say that, or what we know from Paul, did he really do that? Because he's a pastor, he's got to say things, right? But we know when you look at Paul's life, that was it. I mean, there was nothing else. It was all about Christ. Now, let's turn this. Paul is urging us in our passage, join me, for us to live as Christ. Let your life, live your life in a way that is worthy of the gospel. Live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Now, look at verse 27 there. It says that live in a manner worthy of the gospel. That concept of living in a manner worthy is of something is not foreign to the Bible. Let me give you some other passages of scripture. You can write them down. I'll even give you some time to go there. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 4. So you're in Philippians. Just right before that, you have Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I want you to see that God isn't just, Paul isn't just like making an overstatement here. So I'm going to urge you guys to live ultimately and only for one thing. I mean, this is the concept of God's word to Christians. Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I, Paul speaking here, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, Country Bible Church, being urged to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. The walk analogy there is that you're living your life for something. If you're in Ephesians now, we're going to take you further now in, to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. So flip to the right, just a 15 or 20 pages there, not very far, depending on. If you have a large print Bible, it's probably like 40 pages, but if you have a small print, it might be 2 pages, but just a few books later in 1 Thessalonians 2.
She hadn't decided what she was going to do, and after we made the reservation, she chose. It was like, oh, there were 16 of us, so I couldn't believe
it. It was a surprise.
That's what she said. So I'm like,